Hi, and welcome to UFO Party, an X-Files podcast. I'm Erin.
I'm Julia.
And today we are talking about Season 8, Episode 4, which is called Roadrunners. And it is icky. Okay.
Yeah, this thing was fucking nasty.
We were
Skrilling. Skrilling, yep. Skrillexing.
We're Skrillexing.
Yeah, we are Sunny Moore.
Also, side note, it's not going to be Valentine's Day when we post this, but today is Valentine's Day, so happy love day.
Yay!
Even though we get no Mulder and Scully content on this day, which seems like it should be a sin, but...
Well, he had to go fuck off.
Yeah, he was really busy doing nothing.
No. I was going to say having a sex addiction, but that's really rude.
That's not nice, okay? No. And also, I don't even think that's true at this point for David Duchovny.
Just a few years later. This episode's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't remember it. But I also feel very scarred.
Sorry, you guys can probably hear me chewing on this giant fucking vegan gummy bear.
Yeah.
But I just...
They're good.
They're really good. So I'm so sorry for whatever that sounds like to everyone. May need to edit that out, but... Yeah. Okay. I like compulsively am eating them. We are gonna get started on this because we are gonna go on a little Galentine's Day.
Yay.
Okay, so this episode starts in, well, actually the whole episode is in Utah near Sugarville, which did we find? I don't know if that's a real place or not. I think it sounds real. My bet is real. What do you think?
You bet Israel? Wow, crazy.
Wow, crazy. In this day and age. Very bold. Sugarville, Utah.
Sorry, I'm PMSing and I'm feisty.
It looks like a real place.
Cool. Do they have cult members there? Well, it's Utah, so yeah.
It is a... First of all, this is how much information is given on their wiki.
Holy, that's the shortest
it wiki is page I've ever one sentence. Seen. Sugarville is an unincorporated community in Millard County, Utah. The community is 8.7 miles northwest of Delta.
Does it have a population? Or they're like, maybe...
No, it doesn't. Oh my list God. Of population. So yeah, this is based on real events. Yeah. Nope.
Hell yeah.
Gross. All right. Well, Utah. I mean, there's like obviously there's places in Utah that like probably are very similar to this episode.
Yes.
Like culty.
Yeah.
It's Utah.
Ugh. Okay.
But so yeah, we start in the desert near Sugarville, Utah, and a man is hitchhiking. He finds there's like a phone booth, like just a lone phone booth out in the middle of the desert, and he's trying to figure out how to get anywhere, but I don't think he even knows where he is.
No.
So it's kind of not going to work. But thankfully, a giant bus pulls up and they almost miss him, but he like flags them down and yells at the driver for not paying attention. He's like, dude, you have like highway hypnosis. Like you got to pay attention. And they like, I don't even think they barely even say anything. He sits down.
Yeah, they just smile at him.
Yeah. They're just like, all right, get on the bus. Shut up.
I'm sure he regrets this decision.
Yeah, lately. But also, I don't think there is another decision to make, to be fair. So
also, just don't go to Utah.
Just, yeah.
Don't
the decision
go to this place in Utah.
Is to not go into the middle of nowhere in Utah.
Yeah. Stay to civilization.
I mean, I did go into the middle of nowhere in Utah, but I...
You had other people with you.
I had Dylan with me. Yes. Yeah. And also... I did not stop like anywhere off. Like I was like, nope, just gonna keep going. So Because people this are weird out there. This could
have been you.
This could have been me. I am so glad it wasn't, because I truly think I would just off myself. That yep. was hard to watch. But this guy who seems like he might have like cerebral palsy or something. He's got like muscular atrophy.
Yeah.
And he like looks back at this guy and he kind of looks like menacing, but maybe actually it's him trying to warn this guy in hindsight.
Yeah. Just doing a very poor
but
job
like
at
all
it.
Of a sudden, like the bus stops, they all just start piling off and the hitchhiker's like, dude, what is going on? Like, are we okay? They all carry this dude out with like, you know, whatever is going on with him, but he can't walk and he cannot use his limbs in any way. And like,
he has crutches though.
He does have crutches, but they're all like holding him and basically just like carrying him. And then they put him down in this field. And still this hitchhiker is like, what the hell is going on? Like, why are we stopping?
Yeah.
We're in the middle of nowhere. And then they fucking attack this man with a rock as he just kneels there. They just smush his whole head.
Not the hitchhiker.
The guy, yeah.
Yes.
The guy that has cerebral palsy probably. Yeah.
But the hitchhiker does see this and then starts trying to run away. And
yeah, he's like, what
down,
the fuck?
And they definitely start
they attack him.
Yeah.
So God, Scully so hears about over the weekend, supposedly. She hears about this brutal murder and attack. And the person is so disfigured that they cannot identify them. Yeah. So she is called out to Utah and she is basically talking to Doggett on the same payphone.
Yeah.
And he's like, why? What are you doing? And she's like, I just need you to like look through our files for this thing because there's like a lot of mucus on the scene and I don't know what it's from, but there's a previous case that was similar. So like, I just need you to do that. But I'm also not going to tell you exactly where I am or like what's going on.
Yeah.
And she's like, just, then she sees the bus go by.
Right.
And it says the like name of the county, right?
Yeah. It's also important to remember that she is by herself. This was on the weekend. So she didn't want to quote unquote bother Doggett. So he has no idea details of anything that she's not telling him. She has no service. She's in high heels and she's in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yep. Like
she has her car.
Mm-hmm.
But the car is short on gas.
Yep. It actually is like, you know, just thinking about this, I do think they did this on purpose to like put Scully in like a damsel in distress kind of situation.
Yeah, because Chris Carter loves doing that.
Yes. Like Scully would not go out into the desert in fucking high heels without her gun with no gas.
Yeah.
Like, that's very Mulder.
Yeah.
In the
absolutely.
High heels.
Yeah.
Especially. But yeah, so I mean, like, I get it. I just kind of hope that after this episode, we like stop being so like blatantly obvious about like
our misogyny.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also just like trying to be like Scully is the new Mulder because of this dynamic switch and whatever. And it's just like, okay, but actually it doesn't fit her character at all. And she is a whole person that you've been creating. So you can't just be like, now she's dumb.
I think this is a very big difference in like, I don't know a lot of people that like Chris Carter.
Yeah.
But obviously a lot of people like X-Files.
Right.
A lot of people like Twin Peaks and then love fucking David Lynch. Because he doesn't fucking do this shit.
Right.
Like he's a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
But he's not a shit fucking asshole about it.
Yeah.
And Chris Carter loves putting Scully in situations that like realistically she would not fucking be in. And
right.
I don't mean realistically because it's a fucking show about aliens.
No, but if like, you knew your character that you created, you would know that this isn't really like doesn't align with what their values and like who they are as a person is.
We're on season 8 and she's not an underdeveloped character.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in the FBI. She's a medical doctor and a fucking scientist.
Right. But then you still act like she would go out in like a cute little outfit in huge high heels. Like a lot of times I do think I dismiss it as like satire almost, and I get it.
Yeah.
But I think like the last couple episodes, because they've been trying to drill home like that, you know, Scully is now in like an opposite situation.
She's like lost.
Yeah, whatever. Mulder. And like rules are changing, and she's now like come so far that she's now like the crazy Mulder. And like I get it, and like it's necessary to explain it. I just think sometimes they overstate it to the point where it's like, okay, do you like think that your viewers are stupid? Like we get it. You don't have totally to be agree. You can like we can read between the lines. Like you don't need to spell it out for us so much. So, but again, sometimes I do think that's like a intentional move and like a satire kind of piece to it.
Yeah.
That's like, it's almost like a joke that we're all in on.
I don't think that's Chris Carter's intention. I do think like any satire that comes is what Gillian Anderson is bringing to it.
Right.
Because I think she is smart enough to like, okay, we'll just handle it this way.
Yeah. Fair enough. But yeah, so Scully is in the middle. She's on the side of the road, and she tells Doggett, like, get this information for me and then fax it to this police station that's, I don't know, like 20 miles away from where she is. She's like, that's where I'm going to investigate this murder. So
and they're
like,
also expecting her. Keep
this
in mind.
And they're expecting. Yeah. So that is good, at least. Someone is expecting her, and they know that she's late.
Yeah.
So Doggett does that while Scully follows the bus to wherever it was going. She pulls up to basically, like, an old
gas station
in front of someone's house, like a farmhouse kind of thing. Not like a business gas station, but, like, when people used to have, like, farms with with
like the
gas.
One that you see in Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, exactly. That's the exact one that she pulls up to. And she says, I should go make sure I talk to someone here. This seems like a great idea.
Yeah.
So she talks
to Texarkansas.
Exactly.
Texita.
Perfect. So she goes and talks to the mechanic who...
She's like asking for directions. She doesn't know where the fuck she is, so she can't even like read the map.
Yeah. And she's like, I have no service. Can I use your phone? He's like, oh, I don't have a phone. And she's like, okay, well, I'm running low on gas. Can I get some gas? And he's like,
we're out of gas.
Nope, out of gas. And then he's like, you know, are you gonna be good? Because it's like another 30 something miles for the next town. Like, it's quite a while. She's like, I have like a quarter of a tank, I'll be fine. And he's like, well, you know, I'd feel really bad if you got stuck on the way because there's nothing else around. So let me just top you off and whatever.
With
so he
spare can of gas I have in the back.
Yeah. Well, but like, I mean, that feels normal, right? Like he has like a farmhouse. Like
he doesn't make it seem normal. You can tell right away he's either being very helpful or very harmful.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like. Whatever. He's like, you know what? I'll help you out though. I got a little spare tank of gas. He puts it in. He's like, yeah, our gas delivery was supposed to come yesterday, but I guess we're hoping for today now.
Yep.
She's like, okay, whatever. Cool. So he fills up her gas tank, or, you know, at least puts a couple gallons in, and she goes to drive off, and she's like, wait, but what town am I in? Like, where am I so that I can orient myself? He's like, well, we're not really a town. We're more of a group of like-minded people.
A great sign.
Yeah, something about, like, trying to make sense of the world or something. Like, the modern craziness of the world.
Yeah.
So she gets about 2 seconds down the road and her car stops because, obviously, this guy's a fucking creep. And
also, he has an injury on his hand.
Oh yes,
that
I forgot
Scully
about
notices,
this.
Yeah, and you know, it's like, oh, you might want to put some blah 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 on it. Like, mentions that she's a doctor,
and she's also like, and there was a murder.
Yeah.
So why are you bleeding?
Right. Yeah. So also keep this in mind for later. Because, yeah, she's on her merry little way and her fucking car starts sputtering, even though the gas tank says that it's half full. So she fucking pulls aside, walks her fucking little butt back. She goes, "You put something in my tank to make my engine stop." He's like, "No, I would never."
Yep.
So she gets the gas tank and like pours it on her hand and smells it. It's fucking water.
Yep.
And of course he plays it off as like, "Oh my God, he's I like, left
I'm
it
so
out.
Sorry. It's been raining a lot. She's in like, the desert in Utah."
She's like, "It's dry out, you motherfucker." He's like, "Oh well, like I'm real sorry about that."
Yep.
But he had already contacted.
Well, he's like, she's just pissed because she's like, "I'm assuming, you know, yeah.
Well, I think
you don't have a fucking phone."
When she leaves, I think he calls someone as like, "Help's on the way."
Yes.
And we don't know what that means yet.
Right.
So when he's like, "Yeah, I don't have my phone, but like yeah. this motel down the street has a phone and he'd mm-hmm. be more than happy to help you."
Yeah.
So she walks down over there. This is the same old man from the bus in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. We've seen him before.
He's overly smiling.
Creepy old man.
And she's like, "I just want to use your phone. I just want to do this." And he's like, "Are you sure you can't? You don't want a room? You don't want to,
you don't want to like just like
us?
Hang out and yeah. like stay forever?" Yeah. Or but she's like, "I want to get the fuck out of here."
Yep.
So he's like, "Well, you can use my phone." And then he goes to show her where it is, and the fucking line is dead. So
perfect.
Like, how long do you think this is gonna be down? Because he's like, "Oh, they're doing work, so this happens sometimes. Like they're upgrading the power lines or something." She's like, "Okay, like how long do you think that's gonna last?" And he's like, "Well, maybe 10 minutes, but could be hours. I don't know."
Yeah.
Says, "I could say, but I'd just be guessing," which I think I'm going to put into my like normal vocabulary because the questions I get asked daily, I'm like, how would I know that? And I think that maybe if I just keep saying, "I could say, but I'd just be guessing," that might be my response to everything.
That's a very professional way of saying who fucking knows.
Of saying hard telling, not knowing.
I've never heard that.
Yes, oh, you have. No. Dylan says that.
Okay,
but it's his mannerisms.
Okay. His mannerisms.
God.
I will say last night at trivia, our puzzle round was idioms.
Okay.
Some of them never heard of in my entire fucking life.
I feel like probably same.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get them all confused too. Like I never say them right.
No.
I'm like a chicken.
Here.
With a head.
Okay, because it's ones where you fill in the blank, right?
Okay, yeah, so, yeah.
Blank apostrophe S chance in hell. What would you put?
No chance in hell.
Yeah, I'd put fat chance in hell. You know what it was? Snowballs. Snowballs chance in hell. And
what?
I was like, what in the goddamn Christ? I've never heard that in my life.
I've never heard that in my fucking... That's not real. That's not real.
No.
Nobody knows that.
Everyone else did.
Stop.
I know.
Oh my God. Okay.
Because it doesn't snow in hell.
What the fuck?
I know.
I've never heard that before. I don't like it.
Nope.
Okay. So... hard telling, not knowing this man and his fucking phone. So then she sees someone.
Sorry.
She sees someone across the way, and it's like this lady walking into her house, and she's like, "Hey, like, excuse me, do you have a phone? Like, can I talk to you?" Lady just keeps on fucking moving. Like, she does not even pretend to hear Scully. She's like, "Nope." So she like goes into this lady's house, I think, because she's just like, "You know what? This is bizarre.
Let me just also be a fucking weirdo."
Right? Scully, like Wikipedia says, "Scully tries the rest of the town only to be ignored by everyone. They're all too engrossed in Bible study groups."
Yeah.
So and
she's
then,
trying to like go house to house to get anybody's help.
Yeah.
But they're just like,
and they're just ignoring her.
Yeah.
So she's like, "Okay, this sucks, but I guess I have to stay in this creepy ass town because where else am I gonna stay? Like, what else am I gonna do at this point?" So she's got her gun, though. She's okay. And the next morning, she gets woken up, and they're like, okay, there's someone downstairs that, like, needs your help.
Yeah.
And, you know, you said you're a doctor. Like, I need you to help. And they go downstairs. They see the man, the hitchhiker from earlier, and he's having a prolonged seizure, like a grand mal, 4-5 minute seizure. Like, yeah, that's something
what the woman said.
Wild. And Scully is like, this man needs to go to the fucking hospital. Like, he's having a really bad seizure. He needs to go to the hospital. And I have no idea why he's having a seizure. Like, he could be hypoglycemic. He could be having a, like, spinal cord injury because he has a giant wound on his back that they won't let her look at. Like, yo, sketch balls.
When we do see it, it's fucking
nasty. I wish I didn't.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, this is way above what I can do. Like, do you guys even have
corn syrup?
Do you guys even have corn syrup? No. You don't even have anything, like, sterile, dude. Like, this is a bad idea. I need to bring him to the hospital. But they're like, oh, well, we can send someone to walk to the, the highway, try to flag someone down. Because none of them, they say that they don't have cars. I do think that they have cars, but maybe not.
I don't think so. They seem to be walking everywhere.
Yeah, maybe.
They only use that one bus.
Oh, but yeah, but the bus will do.
The bus will do.
The bus would get some one single person to a hospital.
It would get lots of single people to the hospital.
Yeah, they could all go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And then to a mental institution.
And all get vaccinated.
And get vaccinated, yeah. So that is why they're pretending, because they do have a car. It's a giant bus. And so Scully, like, examines the wound on his back, and it's really nasty. But also, these people, like, won't leave her alone. Like, they're, like, watching her, watching him. So she can't really do much. Like, they're kind of just, they're like, I don't know what that is. Weird.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Doggett has the information that Scully asked for. So he calls the sheriff's office that Scully was supposed to be at yesterday.
Yep.
And he's like, hey, I have that information. Like, what's your fax number so I can send that over? Scully said that you guys needed this. And they're like, yeah, why is your partner not here? Because, like, this is a little ridiculous. Like, we're...
Yeah, I think he said the victim's family has been waiting for the body.
Yeah. And Scully's not here. So, thankfully, Doggett, like, takes it really serious. I mean, how would he not? But, like, still, he's, like, immediately, like,
yeah,
okay, that's not good. He was like, she was supposed to be there yesterday. Yeah. I talked to her yesterday, so I know that she was in the area. I know she's in Utah. And, like,
she was
20 whatever miles out from Sugarville, right? Because Sugarville is actually the nearest town.
I think so.
And we're at an outpost near that, possibly. Yeah. And then he calls to get the call that they were on yesterday traced.
So they could at least find the phone booth, right?
Right, exactly. So he starts working on that, and he's like, okay, I'm going to Utah. Gotta go make sure she's okay. And
do FBI agents get private jets?
No, not in the 90s.
Well, 2000.
2000, that's true.
That's 1 year before 9/11.
They get a private jet for 1 year, and then 9/11 happens, so actually slower to take a jet at that point. directly after 9/11, it would take 75 hours to get through an airport. So they had one really good year where they were super efficient. Their costs were crazy high, and then they went back to the Oldsmobile. Or the Saab.
The Saab?
The Saab. You know, like the old... Like the car? A Saab?
Oh, S-A-A-B. Yes, yeah, okay. Saab. I thought you meant S-O-B.
That too.
Wow, okay. Our brains are braining today.
But the hitchhiker man, he starts to wake up, and he's talking, but he doesn't remember his name or how he got there or anything about anything. And Scully is like, she sends the lady, bus driver person to go, well, she doesn't say to go tell everyone, but the lady's like, I'm going to go tell everyone. And Scully's like, fine, just leave, yeah, please, like, get away. But he doesn't really give a ton of information. However, now they're alone. She can check out this, like, weird
wound
going on in her back, in his back, which is like a giant fucking,
it's a hole.
It's a hole. Yeah, it's a giant hole. And then there is something on it, which it, like, normally, like I'm a pimple popping girly. Yeah. Like, I love that shit. This is not it.
No.
There's no satisfaction at all. It's just
fucking disgusting.
It,
when she presses on it, if you have it, that, like fear jam
of holes, that's what this is giving.
Yeah.
It's really not good.
No.
Not good.
But also, we see, like, something rather large.
Moving around in there. Moving around in there.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And she digs it out. She presses. This should be satisfying. Like, you know.
But it's not.
Horrible.
It's basically like a baby fluke man all over again.
She pulls out a little piece of a giant worm because the rest goes back into him further.
Yep. And he's like, oh, this is starting to hurt a little bit. I'm like, sir, that should hurt a lot of bit.
You should be drugged up at this point.
Yeah.
She starts to talk to the hitchhiker who we find out, his name's Hank. But she's like, I can't cut any more of this out without killing you. Yeah. Like, it's going to end up killing you. So she's like, we need to go to the hospital. She goes to find a car. Or to figure out how to get the fuck out of there. And she's like, we will walk if we have to. I don't know. Like, we will figure it out. But Mr. Hitchhiker, who doesn't even know his freaking name. Maybe he found out. I guess he probably remembered because it's Hank. He tells the townspeople that she is going to leave and send authorities here and whatever. He's like, another swap is needed. So, bleh. I don't know. So, basically, this fucking worm has, like, the ability to take over people's minds. Like, it's just a host at this point. Yep. Hank's
the worm.
Hank is gone.
Yep.
And the worm is all that we have left.
Yep. They think it's the second coming of Jesus.
The worm. So, yeah. So they all, this is the cult of the worm, and it's all they care about, and yeah, they're just like, okay, we need another swap, because it's not working. Ugh. Thankfully, Doggett arrives in Utah, and he starts telling the sheriff of this town about how previous X-Files had similar back wounds and mucus and then death by stoning and all the shit. And he's like, yeah, so this happens all the time. Actually, seen it a million times.
Yeah.
On
paper.
It's my second day. However, I have read a thing or two about this.
Really stayed up late.
I was studying very hard.
Every single worm.
So poor Scully is, like, led to this fucking barn and captured, and the townspeople. Yeah, this is
the barn that the bus is in.
Yes. Because that's why she's in there, right?
Yeah.
So she goes in there, and then all the freaking townspeople surround her, and they kill Hank, and then they take the little worm. Big worm. Yeah, huge, like, it's not, huge worm.
There's no language where it is little.
Nope. Big worm.
It's probably very the size nasty. Of, like, both of our forearms put next to each other.
It's the size of Porter. And
okay.
Just kidding, Porter. Yay. You are bigger than the worm.
Oh, but he's so cute.
But it is really big for a worm. And they put this into her body, and I hate it. I hate it.
Oh, my God. Blech.
And then they tie her to a bed and
gag her and everything.
And then the guys are like, the the freaking weird cult people, they're like, you are so lucky. What an honor.
You're going to be so loved.
You are going to be so loved.
You're going to show us so much.
And then thankfully, Doggett finds where she is, and they basically try to just explain away what's going on. They're like, nope, yeah, no, no one really passes by here, so we would know if someone came through. Like, we don't see anything like that. Scully is trying to scream and get his attention. They gag her, and then she ends up, she's very smart, she's able to take her little high heel boots and push the gas lamp off of
the table
and set a fire, distracting them and also causing a lot of attention to the house and that area. So,
which, like, we can see it reflected in Doggett's glasses, his sunglasses, right? But he doesn't give, like, any hint that he's like, excuse, your house is on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you not see that?
Yeah.
Which is very good. He's very slick.
He is very slick. He's very good.
Cop weekend. Acceptable, maybe.
High IQ. Very smart. I do think Mulder would have butchered this and reacted to... he's too, like, reactive.
Yes.
So, thankfully, he goes... He, like, calls the sheriff's office, tells them that they're... Where he is exactly and that he's fucking, like...
He drives down a little bit.
Yeah, just, like, half mile down the road.
Yeah.
Just so that they're not suspicious, I think. And so that they're like, cool, that guy, we did it. He's good. And then calls the sheriff's office and is like, this is where I am. And I can't wait for you guys. So just, like, get here when you can.
Yep.
And then he goes to where Scully is. And he attacks the dude and fucking cuts the worm out of her.
Well, not yet.
Okay, well, I was peeing, so this is where you should take over.
So, he knocks the guy out that was, like, watching over her when the other people were going to go talk to Doggett. So he's not a problem anymore. But he's like, we got to get you the fuck out of here. Like, can you walk? And she's like, nope, this thing hurts so fucking much. But, like, how far is your car? Just kidding. I know where we can go that's closer. So she's like, we're going to the bus. He takes her to the bus. He's trying to hotwire it because he's very specialized Asian. Mm-hmm. And while she's doing that, she is fucking screaming. She's like, you got to cut this out of me right now. So he takes his fucking pocket knife and starts slicing up her back because it's going towards her brain. And she's like screaming that it's going towards her brain. And he starts like trying to get it out. And the townspeople come to the bus and they're banging on the windows. And then they start breaking the windows, and he gets that big ass fucking worm out of her. Blech. And since it doesn't have a host anymore, they just let him take her. They just let him take her down the road.
But he shoots the worm too.
Oh, yes. I think I was hiding. You were watching through the window. I was
watching through the reflection of the window.
Yeah. Oh, it was fucking disgusting.
I don't like it. I don't like the worms.
I think Aaron was peeing and could just hear me go, oh.
All I heard was, ew. Oh. Yes. And then he shoots the worm. So they're like really mad at him, by the way, because he just shot their god, worm god.
God.
And... So everything's fine, no big deal. This is only Scully's like 1 millionth near-death experience, but she is in the hospital and she's packing everything up, and Doggett kind of updates her on the case, and he's like, I mean, there's not really much that they can say in defense except for that they feel that they're being persecuted for their religious beliefs. So there's that. And Scully was like, that they think the worm is the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But she also apologizes to Doggett for being a jerk who went out on her own. Yeah. And was
well, he's
not
like, you fucked up.
Yeah. Like, let's communicate a little bit better.
Yeah. Which is nice.
And that's that.
Because again, it's only his second day on the X-Files, but they've both saved each other's lives already.
Grown so much.
So we like it. I really like Doggett.
Yeah, me too.
And I know it's probably easier for us because we know nothing happens to either of them. Because yeah. There are more episodes. But still. Good. I still fucking don't like this episode. I like yeah. the episode. It just grosses me the absolute fuck out.
So I will say, like, one interesting thing that I find kind of, like, out of pocket is that this was written by Vince Gilligan. And I mean, like, we talk a lot about how, like, you can always tell who wrote what episodes. Yeah. This does not at all view like a Vince Gilligan episode.
Nope.
This is the same dude that did X-Cops. Like, yeah. This is so out of his wheelhouse. It's, like, crazy. This is one of the most disgusting episodes of X-Files that I remember, honestly. Yeah. Like,
yep.
It's a lot.
This season, we've already had some ickies.
I know, but, like, you just wouldn't expect it from Vince Gilligan. So, yeah. I don't know.
Ew. Yeah, apparently, since he's mainly noted for his comedic episodes, he wanted to do this with the intention of creating an all-out scary, creepy, get-under-your-skin literally and figuratively X-File. And this is the only episode that he wrote in season 8 because he was heavily involved with Lone Gunman at the time.
Mm.
So maybe all of the Lone Gunman is where all of his comedic energy got put.
Maybe.
Which sounds about right.
Yeah.
The creature was designed to look like a banana slug, if that gives you any help.
I hate it. A lot of fans were unhappy with the way that Doggett, like, was condescending when Scully's apologizing.
I don't think he was.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I mean, I think he was like, dude, like,
he was pissed.
Yeah, like, I mean, literally, like, rightfully so. And also, I think he kind of deserves to be able to say a little bit like, hey, like, I fucking told you so, can you trust me now? Like, I'm here. Like, you need to stop doing this.
This is what happens when you don't want to include me.
Yeah, like,
not saying that this always happens if you're not gonna include me, but like, still saved you. I don't know. I don't like that. I think that's a lazy criticism.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think, like, so Robert Patrick, who plays Doggett, was like, his interpretation of it is basically like, I'm here for you, I have your back, we're partners now, and essentially, like, gives it the weight of a Marine saying, like, I'd jump on a grenade for you, I'd die for you, you know, like, you can trust me, and we have to trust each other if this is gonna work. So, I mean, I feel like that was very necessary, given that that was the whole point of this episode, but whatever.
I'm just so tired of, like, lazy criticisms for everything. Like,
yeah.
If you're gonna criticize something, and you're gonna be loud about it, make sure it's, like, fucking well thought out. I don't know.
Right. I mean, this was also, like, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I do feel like there are fans that, just like there are fans that are always gonna be pro, like, David Duchovny is the best, like, all this stuff, and are probably, like, honestly just angry,
right,
regardless of who takes over, that it's not David Duchovny. And then there's always going to be people who, like, over defend Scully and are like, don't talk to her like that. Like, it's like, dude, like, chill, it's just a show.
X-Files fans remind me a lot of Last of Us fans. That's all I'll say.
Just want to be upset about something.
Oh, they're always going to find some one fucking thing to be upset about. They're never going to be happy.
Yep.
Because guess what? We get David Duchovny back with Scully, and it's still, and they still are not
happy. Yeah. I think that's really all I have for like fun stuff. And this was, ew. Actually, did you read about the scene where the creature is inserted into Scully's back?
Nope.
They created a fake.
IMDb does not include that one.
They created a fiberglass back, a fake back for Gillian Anderson. And then the fiberglass was placed on top of Gillian, and an animatronic slug was then pressed against the fake back.
Ew. And I don't like animatronic and slug being in the same sentence.
Animatronic slug. That's my metal band name.
I have Ungrateful Dead, and you have animatronic slug. Hell yeah.
I love it. And Gillian Anderson said that this scene was really fun to shoot, but exhausting because she had to struggle on the bed all while tied down and her arms being attached to the headboard and her feet being attached to the footboard. And that's our show, folks.
I'm not going to make any comment on that.
We don't need to comment on that. Goodbye. We don't know how to do an outro.
Wait, no, next week.
Okay.
There are more episodes.
Okay, bye.
Season 8, episode 5.
Distracted.
Invocation? Invocation? I don't know. There's an angry looking kid on it. So Doggett and Scully once again butt heads. Wow, crazy. On their latest X-File, which involves a boy who has returned after being missing for 10 years, but still appears to be 7 years old, the age he was the day he was abducted. What an X-File.
Whoa.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. We have an emo night to go to.
Follow us on Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah.
Do we even still have a Twitter?
We do.
Just follow us on Instagram and then
UFO Party Pod.
Subscribe to us on Apple.
Apple Podcast.
Spotify.
Rate us. Review us.
You know where to find us. Go find us.
Buy us.
Buy us. Buy our attention.
Yep.
Thank you.
Give us money.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yep. And buy merch so we can
support our
habits. Be happy. Support our metal bands.
So we can start our real passion.
Yeah.
The animatronic slugs.
Okay. Goodbye.
Stay safe. Stay safe. Stay spooky.
Goodbye.
Bye.